Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. San Juan Regional Medical Center is expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings year-round. Now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available at the hospital's laboratory and the Outpatient Diagnostic Center on 30th Street in Farmington. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, a wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Well, now to my guest this morning, as I mentioned, Travis Wade is here from the San Juan College Humanities Department. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for being here. And you were telling me before we came on the air, this is your second appearance on KSJE,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's my second appearance.
How about that? Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you.
You were here X number of years ago.
I think it was about 2004 or 2005.
Wow.
I was here with a couple other students. We were promoting kind of a poetry reading, I think it was. We were doing a poetry class.
Nice.
And the instructor at the time thought it might be a good idea if we came on here and gave our own voices as opposed to, you know, an instructor.
Somebody
voice.
Else. Yeah.
Right.
So, but now you're back as the instructor.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
So that was, you were here as a student, now you're back as an instructor.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it's a little strange.
So welcome back. So you,
thank you.
Have been here teaching at San Juan College for about 3 years.
Yeah. Started as an adjunct and, you know,
right.
Now, yeah.
They suck you right in. And
suck me right
that's
in.
That's it. Right. And here you are. And so you teach primarily, you're in the English department.
Yes.
The creative writing department, right?
Yeah, creative writing. And obviously I do the composition classes and you know,
right.
Anything that I need to do
right.
Around the department.
Other duties as assigned
absolutely,
is what they say.
Yes.
And here you are talking with me a little bit about some of the classes. And you've got a class about to start, right? A kind of a late start class that we want to let folks know about.
Yeah, we have a late start class, a 12-week class. And it's a poetry class.
Okay.
So it's our advanced poetry class.
Right.
And my expertise is actually in poetry. So that's what my Master's of Fine Arts degree is in. And so this is kind of my baby, if you will.
Right.
And so, you know, I thought it would be a good idea to kind of let people know what I have planned for the class. I don't think it's going to be their typical poetry class.
Okay.
Because I think oftentimes our interest in poetry or our students' interest in poetry is kind of tainted by their old experiences with it. A lot of Shakespeare that they couldn't understand and a lot of,
right.
A lot of very strict form.
So not your grandfather's poetry.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
to coin a phrase.
Definitely. Definitely. And so there's going to be, you know, aspects of visual art that I'm going to implement in it.
Okay.
There's a movement called visual poetry that a good friend of mine in grad school had kind of introduced me to, and he now lives in Europe. Well, he's been living in Europe for many years, and it's kind of a very avant-garde kind of form, but I think it's something that our students would really enjoy.
Right. And so it sounds like then this class really does open up your mind to other types of poetry, a different way to think about poetry, all those kinds of things, so that maybe if they do have a thought that, oh, well, I've taken a poetry class before and this is going to be different.
Absolutely. And that's what I think for even people who may have taken a poetry class before and I think that there's something new for them.
Right. When does it start?
So it'll start on February 14th.
Okay.
How appropriate.
Right.
Right on Valentine's Day. And that'll, like I said, I think we'll probably move right into some love poetry.
I think you should.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, I think it's going to incorporate a lot. And I think even the online aspect of it is going to be something that's going to really be enjoyable.
Cool. And it's a as you mentioned, a shorter class than the typical college class.
Yeah. So it's going to be 12 weeks as opposed to 16 weeks.
Okay.
It'll still be it's a night class.
Okay.
So for, you know, people who are getting off of work and are looking for, you know, something to do with their time. And it's only one day a week.
Okay.
So it's on Wednesdays. And it's from 5:30 to 8:15. So
nice.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice spot.
And so folks can sign up the usual way you register for classes here at San Juan College, right?
Yeah, usual way, just going right to the registrar or, you know, online and through WebAdvisor.
There you go. Just log right in and you can sign up.
Definitely.
And so talk to me a little bit about these different types of poetry that you mentioned, because, you know, for me, I remember some poetry classes and things like that, and some types of poetry of being fairly straightforward. And, you know, I think it's an interesting kind of type of writing.
Sure, sure. Well, I think, you know, we look at some of the form that poetry's kind of taken on and things like sonnets, you know,
right.
And we look at Shakespeare and, you know, what he did with the sonnet. And I think oftentimes the language is what students or people in general get caught up on.
Right.
And so when you're trying to teach this different type of language, but you're also trying to teach form and you're also trying to teach content, that's a lot for, you know, an eighth grader to take in or a seventh grader or maybe even younger. And I think, you know, when we look at conventional poetry or the idea of conventional poetry, and we think about the rhyming at the end, and we think about, you know, it being about flowers or about, you know, this concept of love that's very flowery.
Right.
That's, I think, people's general idea of what poetry is. That's been hundreds of years ago. And since then, there's been a lot of poets who have come along who have changed that perception of what poetry is and turned it into an art form that should be taken, in my opinion, a little more seriously, as not just being something that's entertainment, even though it can be that,
right,
but something that actually has some substance and actually can have some impact in the world.
Still a form of communication.
Absolutely. Still a form of communication, just done in a way that's paying more attention to words.
Right.
I mean, that's what poetry does, right?
Right.
It pays more attention to the words so that things, certain articles, those words that are introducing ideas, they're not necessary. And that's hard for students.
Right. Well, sure.
Yeah, because you're focusing on the substance of words and not, you know, maybe not so much the lead up or what's grammatically correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of it's interpretation too, right? And so I would think as a new student, you want to make sure maybe that you're interpreting it correctly or knowing how to interpret a piece of poetry correctly.
Definitely. And that's why introducing, I think, them to writers that are doing things or were doing things like that. William Carlos Williams is a perfect example. He wrote these very short poems, these very, interesting poems that people kind of could write off as not being about anything. I mean, you know, his poem about a red wheelbarrow, you know,
right,
sitting next to a building or whatever that poem is. I'm very bad about remembering and memorizing poems. But, you know, when you really break that down and look at what he was doing as far as these ideas of color and these ideas of meaning, of objects, I mean, you see that poetry can be something more, that it doesn't have to be this very stagnant, formatted, always has to rhyme, that it can be wide open.
Right. And that, I think, maybe concerns some people because they're not as familiar with that form of poetry.
Sure, sure.
And we're more familiar with the roses are red, violets are blue.
Sure. And I think that can be a little scary.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's often where things like hip hop music gets kind of a bad stigma, you know, because it's using a lot of poetic language. It's using a lot of things that poets use in order to get its message across.
That's true. That rhythm, I suppose,
absolutely,
is all very poetic.
Absolutely.
When you listen to it without maybe the beats and the other stuff.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's just contributing to it. I mean, when you look at Bob Dylan, and I mean, Bob Dylan's a perfect example of someone who they say, you know, broke the barriers of what poetry and music could be, right? And yeah, I mean, it can be all that, and then even more.
Right. And so with the modern examples, I would put the blame on the media that we don't hear, I don't think, as many examples of maybe modern poetry as we hear about the other examples that you shared, the Shakespeare and the other things that certainly are well known and they're well represented in the media. But more modern examples, I don't think we hear them as much as we maybe would like to or should as a society.
Sure. And I think that's, you know, have
listened to me beating up on the media. Well, that rarely happens.
Right, right. Well,
I'm glad to do it.
Well, I think that's half our fault as instructors too, because I think that we fall victim to what we think is you know, good poetry.
Right.
And, you know, and some of the purists, they're out there and they're going to stick to Woodsworth, and they're going to stick to these poets who they think are, you know, the best of the best, and that, you know, these new poets that have come along have kind of taken that and maybe gone too far with it.
Right. But that's not you.
No, I think
your class,
I think we can still take it further.
A mix.
Yeah, I think we can still take it further. But I think that, you know, understanding the classics is still important.
Right.
So it's just finding the balance in that.
And so with this class, Travis Wade, is it mm-hmm. is it all about kind of looking at and appreciating examples of poetry, or are you also teaching maybe how to write poetry and some of the techniques of actually creating your own poetry?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're going to do both of that. So there's going to be, you know, taking the poetry and getting a better understanding of it. We're going to take it by line by line, and we're going to, you know, take it apart and put it back together and
right.
and try to find everything that we can about it, investigate and find that discovery. But then it's also about taking that and then implementing it. You know,
so if I'm a budding writer, this would be something that I could use
right.
perhaps in my writing
Absolutely.
Career.
Because imitation is, it really is the best form of flattery, right?
Right. Somebody said that.
Yeah, somebody said that. And maybe it was a poet.
Right.
But it definitely is. And I think that younger writers or earlier, you know, beginning writers can take that and really appreciate what imitation can do for them. And even I think, you know, writers who have done that, you know, who are very set in their styles and very set in their ways of how they write poetry, because poets tend to do that.
Sure.
This can open their eyes up to something that can maybe push them, you know, push them beyond what has kept them stagnant.
So. Right. Well, and I guess if you are a writer or a emerging writer, finding the format that best fits your style.
Sure, sure. But it's also about pushing yourself.
Right.
You know, because you can't get stuck in what's comfortable as a writer.
That's true.
Because the minute you do, then you're kind of, you tend to lose it.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you write a bit of poetry yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It would be horrible for me to teach a class and
well, yes.
actually, you know, delve yes. in it.
So, right.
Yeah.
And so you, and I think you're prepared to share a little bit with us this
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
You would.
Yeah.
Okay. It's now a good time?
Sure, sure.
All right.
Definitely.
This is a piece that you wrote?
Yeah, I have a couple of pieces here that I wrote.
Okay.
I tend to write a bit shorter poems, so, you know, it's not going to be anything that's going to take up too much time. Or,
that's all right.
So,
that's all right.
And I guess if I can talk a little bit about kind of how how this style tends to work its way into my thinking, I suppose, is I often think of poetry as stopping for a moment and paying attention to things that we wouldn't normally pay attention to. So the insignificant.
Right.
It's like stopping and seeing a leaf on the sidewalk. And most people would just pass it by.
I was going to say, that's very hard for a lot of folks to do in today's
absolutely,
day and age.
Absolutely. But I think observation as a poet is something that's much different. Because it's someone who almost stops time for a second to kind of show you the significance in that mundane moment.
Right.
So in saying that, this is a poem I wrote called Chopping Winter. And I suppose it's fitting yet not because of the nice weather we've been
having. Our current winter, yeah. Right. It may not fit, but go ahead.
So Chopping Winter. Morning frost wakes, night sleep, and opens. Skies to sun. Aspens flutter in gusts. Axe head. Chips, stark, white, skin with one swing. Granite like knots. Impossible to chop come fall. The winter cuts. Day down. Hands ache.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like I said,
And so how were you tell me, there's a story behind that. You must have been in the mountains somewhere? Or
yeah, I used to work at a resort, and I was, You know, I used to chop wood and...
Okay, so this is personal experience.
Yeah, it's just personal experience. That's what I had to do for, you know, hours on end. And it just kind of became, you know, when you start thinking about things to write about, sometimes the little actions of doing something are like, yeah, okay, I can make a poem out of that.
Right.
Why not?
And you did.
And I did.
And you did.
And I did. And if you could, and if you could see it, it's very visual as well. I mean, there's very much a visual aspect to that poem. And I think that's what another thing that maybe... writers don't understand, or maybe students don't understand, is that appearance on the page means a lot.
Sure.
Definitely.
And for someone like me who reads things for a living, to be able to read it in the way the writer intended is very important, which is why I'm so glad you've read your own poem and I didn't have to do it. So because you certainly could do it a much better way than I could.
Well, but it's also beautiful to see other people read what you've written.
Right.
Right. To see how they interpret it and what they bring to the table.
If they do it correctly, I suppose.
It's correctly, or maybe you haven't done it the right way.
Right.
You know.
Or a new interpretation, I suppose, right? So interesting. And so to me, it seems like poetry is a lot like art, because a lot of people like different things about different pieces of art. It is art.
Oh, absolutely.
Really.
Absolutely. I think I would say, and obviously I'm biased, but I would say that poetry is the most artistic form of writing.
Sure.
Fiction has its own, you know, beauty, creative nonfiction, definitely. Playwrights, definitely.
Right.
But poetry allows for the visual as well as the auditory as well as the written.
Right.
It's
But it is different to different people. And just like different people like different types of art, some folks like more traditional art, some folks like more modern art. Poetry, I think, is kind of the same way. You don't have to like every piece of poetry that you encounter. Everyone has their own likes and dislikes.
Definitely. And it's also amazing to see how many classical poems that are written in a classical form that people might enjoy have content that's very risque.
Right.
And so, you know, poets were always kind of pushing the boundaries of what they could say and what they could write and what they could do with the language. And that's still there. I mean, I think it has to be.
Right. Well, I think that's true. Very true. Do you have another one to share with us before go to our break?
Yeah, definitely.
Let me just remind everyone, Travis Wade is my guest this morning. He is an instructor of English, poetry, creative writing here at San Juan College. There is a class coming up on poetry that will be starting on Valentine's Day, as a matter of fact, on February 14th here at San Juan College. And so what's the next poem we're going to hear?
This is a poem called Holding Back. So Holding Back. Faint grayish shrubs, low, pockmark bluffs and cactus spines, house rusted out bullet casings, one white bird feather, lizard skin, oil pumps. Looks like rain today, you said, holding hands, emptying on a dirt road. Some locations are just dead ends. Rock pillar, chimney stack, sun tails rise ahead of blue backdrops. Clouds begin to build, shadows gently sliding across the desert sand. We throw rocks at an old beer can and watch sunbeams graffiti on plateau walls. Pinyon tree, perfume, and flash flood warning winds spin down lost arroyos, stirring up sand beads and snapping twisted deadwood sticks. You shield your eyes in my chest. Thunderstorms coil and curl in springing dirt devils that swirl in between each gust. Raindrops fade in midair, fingerprints in a sea of sagebrush. You remove my hand from your back pocket. Remember that make-believe story you wrote about the sky? The granule parachutes and headdresses crashing into our faces? Dreamcatchers circle the city, holding rain back. Your fingers are a picture frame of the sunset that I hang on a sandstone cliff. Together we chase the horizon, letting heat waves blur the direction we are heading. There's plenty of places to hide, even in the open desert.
Poetry by Travis Wade this morning on KSJE. Thank you for sharing that with us. We will take a short break, and when we come back, more with my guest in just a moment here on KSJE. The time is 8:32. KSJE is supported by the University of Denver Graduate School of Social Work Four Corners Program, a two-year and advanced standing Master of Social Work degree taught in Durango, strengthening the professional social work peer group of the region. Enrollment for the fall 2018 closes on May 1st. Information is available by phone, 970-247-9773. This program is supported by San Juan Health Partners Urology, providing a wide range of personalized services for the whole family, including children. Our caring professionals are dedicated to helping meet your urology health needs with skill, experience, and service you need. For a complete listing of our services and to learn more, visit sanjuanhealthpartners.com or call 505-609-6300. San Juan Health Partners Urology, a division of San Juan Regional Medical Center. I'm Scott Micklin. My guest on the radio this morning, Travis Wade, is here from the San Juan College Humanities Department, talking a bit about the classes that he teaches here at San Juan College, including poetry and creative writing. Once again, welcome back to KSJE.
Thank you.
Good to have you here, and thank you for sharing some of your poetry with us, because it's great, and as you mentioned before, it really does make you stop and consider the world around us and some of the things that are happening, whether it's weather or the things that you see or the things that you feel or the textures or whatever, is what I got out of your last example, that especially that you read for us.
Yeah, thanks. I was telling you that when I was taking my MFA program, I was living in Pittsburgh, and that's where I was getting that taken care of at. And
not a lot of dust devils in Pittsburgh.
Not a lot of dust devils and not a lot of imagery of the desert. And you know, bringing that experience to that area was very different, and people seem to appreciate that.
Right.
And I think oftentimes I talk to my students here when I'm talking to them about art in one of my composition classes, and you know, I just ask them a simple question of how many of you have been to the Bisti, and I'm always blown away by how few of them raise their hands, because
sure,
we have these beautiful landscapes around here, and this area is really beautiful, and people don't take enough advantage of it, and I think that's kind of a sad thing.
Very true. And for folks who don't live here, it is so completely different from what they are used to, and which is why I'm sure when they heard that poem that you shared in Pittsburgh, they were totally blown away by just the different imagery that came with it.
Yeah, it's very
foreign. They're not even familiar with.
Absolutely. It seems like another planet,
right,
I think, to them.
So, again, your class on poetry is starting in February 14th.
It'll start February 14th on Wednesday.
Okay. It's a one-day week.
It's a one-day-a-week class. It fulfills any type of elective, so
right,
you know, any student who's looking to take a late elective course, this is a beautiful one to take.
Three credit.
Mm-hmm. It's from 5:30 p.m. until 8:15 p.m. and like I said, it's on Wednesday, so it's only one day a week.
Right.
And some of the things we're going to be exploring in this class beyond just the work itself is we're going to be doing some kind of collaborative efforts with some of the other entities, I suppose, of the English department. So,
great.
So we will be bringing in kind of what we do with one book, and kind of because with one book we're going to be doing a reading on, I believe it's April 10th,
right?
Where we're going to be incorporating kind of work that's inspired by environment, or inspired by the Emerald Mile, or inspired by, you know, that type of imagery of nature.
Right. The One Book, One Community program you're talking
yeah.
about, which has adopted the Emerald Mile this year, which is kind of this great story about a river trip through the Grand Canyon. And so that image, that creates all kinds of images, I'm sure, when you start talking about those things.
Absolutely. And I'm even hoping to kind of maybe incorporate some way that my students can get together and go out into a, you know, into an area, whether it be the Bisti or, you know, just somewhere around where they can take in kind of, you know, this environment, take in some things maybe they haven't paid attention to.
Right.
And take some notes and write about it. Because I think, you know, the outdoor world, that's a beautiful thing to take in when you're trying to write poetry.
Yeah. Well, like all of us, I think we have these moments that are available for those potential poetic moments in our lives, but mm-hmm. we don't maybe realize it when we're in the moment. But if we have someone like you that can kind of direct our attention to really notice what we're experiencing and kind of direct us to getting it on paper, that's what a lot of us need.
Sure, sure. I think it's a way of kind of slowing down this fast-paced world for maybe 1 second.
Right, exactly, indeed. And so again, the poetry class will start on February 14th.
Yes.
Here at Salmon College, you can register today.
Yes, you can register today, right online.
There you go, right now. So, wonderful. Some of the other things I want to ask you about, you are also involved with the Perspectives magazine, which is a compilation of student and staff and faculty work here at San Juan College.
Yes. So, like I was saying, we're going to be incorporating a lot more of these entities of the department. And one of those is Perspectives, which is the art and literary magazine here at San Juan College. I was actually involved when it was the Illumina.
Right.
I was involved with that. So I was the editor of that publication, I think, twice. So so it's kind of interesting, once again, you know, coming full circle.
Right.
And so our students, my students with the creative writing class are going to be very involved with Perspectives as far as, you know, we've been talking about getting more student involvement of more of a decision of how the layout's going to play. Play out how it's gonna, you know, what pieces will be accepted.
Right.
I think it's a perfect opportunity for students to get things published and understand what the publication process is like.
And this publication seeks out, actually right now they're actually seeking submissions, right?
Yes.
For the newest edition, and it's all different types of media almost, or of stories, of whatever.
So you know, we're accepting poetry, fiction, nonfiction, essays, you know, all of that kind of creative work. And the deadline for that is actually Wednesday, February 28th. And that's at 11:59 p.m. So
okay.
Right up to the very last minute.
That's right.
Because I know how poets can be.
Right.
Can be very, yeah. And those submissions are actually accepted through the Perspectives Canvas site or through the Perspectives emails.
There's an email address,
yes,
too.
Yes, which is perspectives@sanjuancollege.edu.
So if you're listening this morning, you have that short story or that poem that you've been working on, or you'd like to maybe submit it.
Absolutely.
Here's an opportunity.
Here's
right?
an opportunity for it to be seen. And, you know, and I think it's a solid publication. So,
and it's open to students and staff as well here
yes,
at San Juan
yeah,
College, right?
Absolutely. So, you know, if we have any secret poets who are some of our staffers, then yeah, I encourage you to submit.
You never know. That's
absolutely.
Right. So that'll be great. And then that comes out later on in the semester. Usually.
Yeah, that will come down later on. I don't usually know what the turnaround rate
right.
is on that, so I don't want to put anybody on the spot.
But usually by yeah, end of yeah, semester, absolutely. I think it's out.
Yeah, so I think that's usually how we do that.
Is what the thinking is. Great. And in the minutes we have remaining this morning, Travis Wade, about some of the other classes that are available, creative writing you've mentioned a little bit about.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit about the creative writing certificate and kind of how that works. So this is set up for any of our students who are wanting to actually take creative writing further, to get that BA or to get that MFA in a writing program in the future. And this is, you know, helping them to develop a portfolio and helping them to develop the English courses that they're going to need going forward into that type of program. And so we have a variable selection of creative writing classes, editing and style classes written by some of taught by some of our great faculty. And we have some really good literature classes as far as Southwest literature, women's literature, Native American literature, American literature, and world literature. And I just wanted to plug all that because I think that those literature classes are really important for any students that are wanting to understand how that balances out with writing.
Sure.
You have to read the greats and understand the greats before you can be a great writer. I think that's just the way it goes. So.
That's true. And this certificate class, the certificate program, pardon me, mm-hmm. has been around for a while, and it's transferable to getting
yeah,
those
it's,
other
it's
degrees you mentioned,
transferable
right?
Transferable to the bachelor's degree or to, you know, which can help you into the master's degree, kind of the route I took.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think it's amazing that they're offering this now, because when I was coming through, this wasn't quite on the ground yet. And I would have loved to have had this route to take.
Right.
As far as the structures of classes to get me into that program.
That would be great.
Absolutely.
And so again, if someone's listening and they're interested, just picking up the phone and talking to an advisor here at San Juan College?
Yeah, talk to any of the advisors that we have. Talk about your interests in it. You can come see any of us in the humanities department, Dr. Ziak, Danielle Sullivan, myself. Any of us, are willing to talk to any students about any of this.
Right. And as far as career prospects go, talk to me a little bit about the importance of humanities, the importance of writing. I mean, again, I scroll through my Facebook feed and I just sometimes shake my head and my brain wants to explode a little bit from some of the grammatical and other.
Well, and I don't think it's just grammatical. I know that that's there, the whole there and there.
Oh,
thing
don't get me started.
And all of that. But I think going beyond that, the humanities is a great way to understand how critical thinking really works and how that can be implemented in your everyday life and decisions that are going to move forward. And I think, any type of humanities course is going to be important in any career. I mean, I think that that's going to be something that you're going to have to learn how to do, which is communicate concisely, correctly,
clearly,
and to understand, how this complex world works in whatever field it is that you're going into, whether it be business or whether it be teaching or, or psychology.
And forgive me for saying so, but how about understanding a different point of view once in a while?
Well, yeah, definitely.
And that would be nice.
And I think that's what humanities opens it up to. I mean, it opens up your mind to understanding that this world is complicated, and there's a lot to understand before you can become an expert on any type of viewpoint. It just kind of opens the world up for you. And sure. I think that's a beautiful thing that a lot of us need right now.
Very true. Very true. Travis, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure having you here.
Absolutely.
Travis Wade from San Juan College, my guest here on KSJE.